This is the Full Press Colts Podcast with your host, Jay Stevens.
What is up, Colts fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Full Press Colts Podcast. And as my buddy Corey Thompson stated in the intro, I am your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. The bye week, it's over. The Colts play football this Sunday. The hibernation period that the podcast went into, vacation that the podcast went on, that's over as well. The Colts play Sunday. But the podcast is back today. Let's talk some Colts football in preparation to watch them take the field very, very soon. You can follow me on Twitter at JStevens07. You can also send your emails. If you're not on Twitter, you want to send an email to the show, send that to jstevenspod@gmail.com. You can always listen to the Full Press Colts podcast on either the Full Press Coverage app or fullpresscoverage.com or Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your fine podcast. Today in segment two, we'll talk about some thoughts I had about the defense during the bye week. We'll talk about some thoughts I had about the special teams during segment three of today's show. But we begin today's show with some bye week vibes, bye week thoughts I had concerning the offense of the Indianapolis Colts. It'd be way too easy to go right to Phillip Rivers and discuss his good qualities, his bad qualities. So we're not going to start there. Let's start with the running back position. Let's start with the guys that are behind Phillip Rivers. The guys that make it easier for Phillip Rivers via the run game. I won't talk about pass protection. I won't even talk about the offensive line and pass protection. I won't even talk about that. I won't talk about Phillip Rivers and his issues as far as making quality decisions during crucial points and games. I won't even harp on that. You guys know all about that. I know you and your boys or you guys at the barbershop, that's barbershop talk. Here's a little nugget that came across my window. Excuse me, timeline. This isn't like someone came knocking at my window or at my door, opened the door. They said, oh, I don't want to come in. They flashed a sign with the stat there, then they walked away. That's not the way this thing unfolded. But I did see a stat. I think speak volumes about the run game that we see, that we talk about, and how, well, it may not be the way that we perceive it to be. Over the past four games, Jonathan Taylor has rushed for 4.5 yards per carry. Everybody else, 2.7 yards per carry. Don't you think defenses know that? Don't you think defenses realize that the Colts' running attack is a one-man machine? As Jonathan Taylor has gotten better, and I talked about it here on the podcast, JT has gotten better toting the rock and finding the hole and making quicker reads, pre-snap read, post-snap verification. He's gotten very good. Well, better. I won't say very good or elite. He's gotten better at that. He's a rookie. Growing pains. No preseason. What do you expect? He's gotten better at it. But also the opposing defense, and not just the Detroit Lions. Well, you got games against the Ravens coming up. Games against a game against the Steelers coming up. A game against the Packers down the road. Still got to play the Titans, still got to play the Texans, still got to play the Jags. When you're having teams here that are familiar with you, you're playing, you have teams that are very, very good to elite that you're playing. I mean, in most power rankings, you're going to find the Ravens in the top 10. You're going to find the Packers and the Steelers in the top 5. A lot of them will have the Steelers number 1 in the league right now. That's how good they are. And these defenses know if JT's not on the field, the running attack, the rushing attack is no good. You can say all you want about the O-line, all you want about the guys that are in front of Phillip Rivers, that are in front of JT, of Naheem Himes, of Jordan Wilkins. You can do all the talking about them you want. However, what we haven't seen is consistency in the run game. I don't like seeing Phillip Rivers as a person that covers a team, throw the ball more, because I know what it does to not just me and the job that I have, but also you, the fan, or someone else that's watching. You're saying, oh, Phillip Rivers throwing the ball? Okay. He'll complete 70, 72% of his passes, maybe 73, at worst 65. He'll do that. At the same time, if there's no run game, it forces him to throw the ball more. And for some reason, he has that Brett Favre mentality or trait where you make crucial bad passes during crucial points in games, and it's not fun to watch over and over and over again. As a starting quarterback, a veteran in this league, as he is doing things that are harming the team when they desperately need big plays to help them secure a win. One more thing about the offense before I go. Marcus Johnson, Zach Pascal, Ashton Doolin, Jack Doyle, Trey Burton. The Colts desperately need more Allen Cox back because without him, it seems like the offense is stale. Phillip Rivers only throws to so many people. He tries to plug it into tight end more, but sometimes that doesn't work out. The Colts desperately need T.Y. Hilton to figure out what's going on with his head, with his body. Bye week vibes, baby. Look, bye week, I know it's cold in Indianapolis. You can't go anywhere because you're part of the team. I know people that I am friends with, I mean, they've gone to Tennessee, they've gone out west, they've gone to Florida. Like, I'm not knocking what they've done. What I'm saying is, with COVID and what the team is doing, their protocols, players can't go anywhere. That's already been announced. Players can't go anywhere to save themselves and to protect themselves based off what the league doctors have put in place for them. They don't have to agree with it. They just have to follow the orders of their boss. So that gave T.Y. Hilton a time period to stay at home, watch film, and realize, I can't get away from people. I can't, my starts, my footwork off the line, my hand placement off the line as I'm battling with the corner. Press coverage right now with me, it's not fun at all. You go back and watch old games or go back and watch old clips or watch the game this upcoming week. There were numerous times C.J. Henderson, game number one, against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Rookie cornerback out of the University of Florida mentioned Jonathan Taylor and how he didn't have a preseason. C.J. Henderson didn't have one either. Last play of the game, when you want to go through your go-to receiver, what do we find? T.Y. Hilton can't get open. Maybe what the Colts are looking for, maybe what's the bright spot, Michael Pittman Jr. comes back off IR, comes back on the field, allows Zach Pascal and Marcus Johnson to play a different role or to be featured in different ways. Michael Pittman Jr. becomes that bright spot, that security blanket. Need a catch on 3rd and 7? Let me go to Pittman. Need a catch on 2nd and 6? Let me go to Pittman. 1st and 15? Let me go to Pittman. That time when he used to go to T.Y. Hilton, hey, youngster, hey, you, that guy that's been on IR, hey, you, your daddy played under Tony Dungy there in Tampa Bay, hey, you, that guy that had sure hands over there at USC, who Keaton Slovis came off the bench after JT Daniels got hurt with an injury during game number one, and you were his favorite target. Why? Because your hands are like glue. Maybe, just maybe, that's what the Colts need right now. It's a youngster. It's a guy that can literally help T.Y. Hilton, that can help him push him to the next level, or can be the guy that Colts fans want T.Y. Hilton to be, that guy you can trust through crucial points during an offense. Pittman will be back on the field soon. I don't believe it'll be this weekend, but Michael Pittman Jr. back on the field, big shoes, big moment for him in his young career, but also big for the Colts. It's unfortunate you've had Pittman and KJ Hill get hurt back-to-back years, but also you have Pittman, a rookie receiver, get hurt again, hurt in his first time coming on the field. Don't like it, don't love to see it, but this could be a blessing in disguise, saying, who are the Colts going to look for? Who will be that guy that can be their possession receiver, that can be a guy you can go to? Thought it was T.Y. going into the season, but maybe it's Michael Pittman Jr. Let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will talk about some thoughts that I had regarding the defense. No stats this time, just stuff coming from off the top of my dome. The Colts defense is still being talked about like it is elite, which it is. I mean, you can go through the numbers and see and get the verification you're looking for. The Colts defense is still elite. What may you ask, or what may you think may have ran through my abnormal mind during the bye week about this defense? I've stated this statement before on the podcast 2 games ago, and then also after the last game. You may know who I'm speaking of and what I'm talking about, but it surely is not the Colts need to play a full game of play a full 60 minutes on defense. That's not what it is. However, the very statement I was thinking about is this. Is Darius Leonard the engine that makes this defense go for 60 minutes? It was very clear 2 games ago, and I don't, off the top of my head, it was the Browns. Wow, we played two teams in Ohio back-to-back. A little time away, my brain went away from Colts football, went right to Ohio State football, where I'm also the host of Locked On Buckeyes via the Locked On Podcast Network. So I have been engulfed in that all week. Penn State game coming up this weekend, so I completely forgot 2 weeks ago on the 11th, the Browns game. My calendar right in front of me. That's why I write things down. The Browns game, October the 11th. What do you remember about that game on the defensive side of the ball? Well, number one, got off to a horrible start. Number two, Baker Mayfield looked like an NFL quarterback, a starting caliber NFL quarterback. Number three, Darius Leonard was not there, and with him out, not in the game, hoo-wee, there were some big shoes to fill on defense. Contain wasn't there. Missing tackles all the time. Miscues on defense. Miscommunication. And in my head, I'm thinking, now I know Anthony Walker is a good, very good, really good linebacker. I know he's capable of calling the plays and calling the shots on defense. But is it not having, just literally physically having, Darius Leonard on the field and either you're Julian Blackman or Kyrie Willis back in the back half of the defense, or if you're Darius Buckner, DeForest Buckner is looking back, you can look forward or look back and see your signal caller. You can look forward or look back and see the three guys that run the linebacking group, Okereke, Walker, and Leonard, that you know they're going to do their job. Even though they're not perfect, even though they have some issues, even though Walker in the passing game isn't the best, you know what you're going to get from them. Now, when you put other people out there on the field, when you put other people there that you're not familiar with, you look back, you're like, oh, whose number is this? I don't know who that is. I mean, does he know this call? I mean, Eberflus just called, made this call, and it's worked on 3rd and 9 every other time during this game, and I have my job. I got to loop around, and the linebacker comes inside, and it works very well, or I got to come inside, and the LB delays a blitz and goes on the outside, and it works so well. We got the timing down. I know how to pull, borderline hold the tackle, and I don't understand holding on defense if you're a D lineman. I used to play D line. Holding was what they told us to do. It's there. It happens all the time, but I'm just saying. I don't understand it. But not if you're going around as a defensive end and a linebacker swooping inside, or if you're crashing down during the B gap, that would be where the D ends coming down and the linebacker swooping around via a delayed blitz. Whatever it is, you can look back and see, oh, I don't know if he knows his call, man. I mean, 3rd and 9, this works for us so many times. 3rd and 9, me and old boy had this down pat. Hold on. He on the field, but he's on the other side, and I got this new guy behind me. I don't know if this is going to work. And maybe it's a psychological thing early in the game. Maybe it's just an issue of not being familiar with the guy that's replacing Darius Leonard. I don't know. But I truly understand where the thought would come from if I'm on the field, either if I'm on the D-line, if I'm in the secondary, or maybe if I'm Okereke or Walker. My boy's not on the field with me. My dog's not on the field with me. The guy I go to battle with all the time, he's not on the field with me. This isn't comfortable. I don't like this at all. I don't like the feeling of not knowing what the guy next to me is going to be doing, so on and so forth. And there's so many thoughts going through your head in regards to, who is that guy? What is it? And this is something as far as Darius Leonard, if he is the engine that makes this defense go for 60 minutes, I don't know. I can't pinpoint and say, oh, this, that does that, or this, that proves this, or this, that proves this. I don't know. As someone that used to play football, I truly understand and play sports. I truly understand the comfort that comes from having familiar faces there on the field or on the court with you. I know when I used to like pick up basketball all the time, and I'll tell you right now, basketball, I'm okay. I'm not great. I'm not elite. I won't even say I'm average. I'm just an okay basketball player. I play with my guys all the time, used to, because it's fun. One thing I enjoyed when playing basketball with guys that I played with over and over and over, I know where their sweet spot was. They figured out what I was comfortable with and what I really wasn't comfortable with. There would be times, you know, I would try something new or they would try something new. If it worked, they would do it again. If it didn't work, you don't do it anymore. It's part of trying to become better at either podcasting like me or playing a sport like we used to do all the time. Well, when I got comfortable, this is a guy, I'll shout him out, a guy named Robert Salazar, my youth pastor's oldest son. Robert and I, Paul Corlew, his brother-in-law, used to play basketball, and I used to kind of enjoy going against them because it made me better as a player, made me work harder. But when I was on their team, especially Robert, because Robert's a really, really, really good shooter. I mean, that boy got a clip, and I mean, if you watch him play college range, NBA range, it don't matter. That boy, whoo-wee, that boy got in the gym range. But when you get out there on the court, I say, Robert, here you go. Pull up from the volleyball line, wet. Here you go, Robert. Corner three, wet. Here you go. Come off the pick, wet. Why? He's just that good. Never became familiarity. Wow, I can't talk today. We became familiar with what each other wanted to do. There we go. Woo-wee. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to because I got a little tongue-tied a little bit right there, and I had to pick that up very quickly to not embarrass myself any more than I already had. Maybe. This is the only thought I have about the defense. Is Darius Leonard truly the engine that makes this defense go for all 60 minutes? You may say, Jay, they're pros. Pros should be ready to do this, to play hard, to stay inside of their role all the time. That's true. I'm in that category. I am with you. Can't knock that. They should be ready. Once again, they're human. Humans, we get familiar with things. We know when we see something or when we hear something, we hear a voice, it either brings a sense of, I'm familiar with that, or I have no idea, can I trust that person who is speaking to me? I don't know, but all I do know is we'll find out very, very soon if the defense goes back to playing a full 60 minutes once Darius Leonard steps back onto the field. One more timeout. Before we close out this show here on the 28th of October, we will come back and talk about my thoughts via the special teams that I had during the bye week. Let's go back into our minds and think about what the thoughts were entering and going through your mind when Adam Vinatieri stepped on the field to kick a field goal or a PAT. I hope he gets this one. I don't know. It's about a 48-yarder. He ain't a young man no more. His 40-plus-year-old body can't kick it like he used to. Hold on. This is only 35 yards. That's a walking. He's also 35-plus some. He can't really do it like he used to. You all know how it was when you was about 30, 38, 39. You try to say you was doing things. You could move like you did at 35 or 36. Hold on now. Hold on. You know, as you get older, the body starts changing. And when the body starts changing, well, things won't be the same as it used to be. You all know all about that stuff. As I go back to a movie scene in my mind, like I'm actually in a movie, you know exactly what I am talking about. Well, here is what I think is going through your mind right now. Oh, we got Hot Rod. We good. hey, baby, we good. Hot Rocket on the field. Oh. Mr. Rex Specs and everything. We are good. What is the difference? Is it the age? Maybe. Is it because he's a rookie? Maybe. But what we found, what was put on Front Street last year, every time Vinatieri was on the field, the thought was there was more pessimistic thoughts than optimistic thoughts. Not just in your mind, in my mind, and those of us that cover the Colts. I wasn't covering the Colts last year, but you know what I'm talking about. Those of us that cover the Colts, there were thoughts, in numerous people's minds simply about Adam Vinatieri. And it was not a, there's a 75% chance you're going to make this kick. It's not an 80% chance you're going to make this kick. More of it was, oh man, here we go again. Got the old man on the field. For some reason, Frank Reich won't let him go. For some reason, Frank Reich is out here saying, it ain't Adam's fault. And Adam out here saying, I got to do better. This is on me. It's okay. It's okay, Adam. We go. I know coach speak. I know a coach. I know how coaches. I don't know how coaches think. I've never been a coach. I can understand it. Sometimes decipher coach speak. It's the same thing we're hearing about Phillip Rivers right now. Hey, Phillip, you're not the problem. You're not the issue. Your bad plays, they're okay. You'll get over them. It's another day. We know we had the toughest stretch of our season down the road, but, well, you'll be okay. We all know how that is when coaches speak into a microphone. A lot of them don't give you anything. They're speaking for 5 minutes without saying anything. I've seen them on TV. I've heard them via the radio and on podcast. They talk, they talk, they talk without making any kind of a point. Well, I know nowadays when you think about things like this, think about a kicker who's a rookie who is coming in, who has rec specs, and you may say they're Kirk Rambis-esque, and whatever else words you may want to describe the spectacles that are on the face of Rodrigo Blankenship. I have one thing to say. We ain't got to worry about Frank Reich trying to coddle him, and when Hot Rod makes mistakes, it's going to be okay. 45-year-old man, 40. I like out of it. I'm not knocking him. I like him. I like him a lot. But his play on the field at times, numerous times, he was more likely than not to miss a kick than he was to make a kick. With Rodrigo Blankenship, I got some numbers here for you. These may startle you. I'm not sure if they will or not. I got some splits based off of the way that he has kicked 20 to 30 yards, 30 to 39 yards, 40 to 49 yards, and 50 yards kicks as well. Got some numbers to show we are in good hands. And I surely hope this is not the quote-unquote kiss of death, where this is going out on the podcast on a Wednesday morning, and then lo and behold, on Sunday, he's doinking. We even saw a quadruple doink in college football this past Saturday. Please. I'm not gonna beg the guy. Hey, God, please don't do this, God. Don't let me look bad. Don't let me look bad. I'm not going that far. I am not going that far. I know that I know that I believe in God, but I know that I'm not trying to pull God into sports. I know God has very important things to do. But here we go. Rodrigo Blankenship from 20 to 29 yards on field goals, 4 for 4. Field goals that range from 30 to 39 yards, 7 for 8. Field goals that range from 40 to 49 yards, 5 for 6. He has not kicked one field goal longer than that, outside of that range, nothing 50 yards or longer. Also, Hot Rod Rodrigo Blankenship. Rodrigo Blankenship, there we go. Rigoberto Sanchez, we'll talk about him in a minute. But Rodrigo Blankenship, I get them mixed up. Field goals-wise, you know, like the old school, I'm from the age, it's either 2 or 3 yard line, you get the PAT, you go out there and do that thing, you're good. More often than not, he's going to make them. Actually, he hasn't missed one. 15 for 15. So 16 for 18 via field goals. 15 for 15 via PATs. And I do believe still, and I haven't checked this stat after the Colts game against the Bengals. I don't know how things went after the week that just ended in the NFL season. But I know he was the leading scorer in the NFL when you calculate how many points he had scored from his field goals and his PATs. Look, it brings a smile to my face and a different feeling knowing that the fan in me of the Colts, when he gets up to kick, it's not, whoo-wee, gotta hold my breath, gotta hold my breath, sit back and hope for the best. No, I believe the best will happen. Rodrigo Blankenship, it's nice as someone that covers a team to come be able to come here behind the mic and say, Colts fans, you have a reliable leg kicking field goals and PATs for you. Also, Sanchez as well. And Colts fans learned this, not just from Hunter Smith, who was here for a long time, also from Pat McAfee, who came right after Hunter Smith. And you think a young guy in McAfee not knowing that, one, he didn't know how to punt, two, and Pat McAfee will say that, he came here not being a punter, and one of the best punter the Colts have ever had, or I have had in my life, but I can't say ever had, because I don't know what Colts punters were like prior to when I started watching football. I haven't gone back and watched decades and decades of Colts football. I have not done that. All I can say is this. In my lifetime, Hunter Smith was great. Pat McAfee is better. Sanchez comes in, and you know McAfee's gone. You got Boomstick, baby. You got the guy with the crazy leg. He has surgeries, but he still comes back and booms that thing. I like the guys via special teams. Also, going into the season, did you think that the Colts would have a special teams touchdown via a kickoff return? Did you? Now, you may get one via a fumble recovery where a kickoff team or a punt team recovers a fumble and they go ahead and score, or it's a safety where they score that way. Now, did you really think? No. Isaiah Rodgers, it's nice to see a Colts returner be able to break a run like you did. Colts fans, to close this show out, you should be very, very happy via the legs, because of the legs that are out there on special teams, just highlighting three guys. Blankenship, Sanchez, and Rodgers. Three things going into the season you hoped to have: consistency via the kicking game, consistency via the punting game, consistency or a good returner who may potentially or who will break one off and take a trip to pay dirt. You got all of them. Rodgers will probably break another one. I do believe that. Blankenship has a good shot to make in the Pro Bowl as a rookie. Let that one sink into you. How often does that happen? Then also Sanchez, being able to flip the field as a punter. It's nice. Colts fan, I'm sure you love that. Colts fans, come back on Friday. We will have the managing editor of Full Press Lions, part of Full Press Coverage, the Full Press Coverage team. Come on, get us ready for the upcoming matchup against the Detroit Lions on Sunday. I will be doing what I normally do on Friday, having the injury report update to start the show, and then providing my keys to victory at the end of the show. Guys, thanks for coming back. A little vacation away for the podcast, but the podcast is back. Coming back three times a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can always follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. Also, listen to the Full Press Colts podcast on either the Full Press Coverage app or fullpresscoverage.com or Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your fine podcast. Remember, if you're an Apple user or you have an Apple phone, head to iTunes or Apple Podcast. Drop a 5-star review. Help more people learn about and enjoy the same Colts podcast you enjoy every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Big game this weekend. Very big game. Bigger than I thought it would be going into the season. But we'll talk Friday about my thoughts. Can't let them out just yet. Come back Friday to figure out what Jay thinks the Colts need to do, what they can do to win the game this weekend's matchup against the Detroit Lions. Going to change things up a little bit and close today's show in a way I want to close every show going forward. Go Colts!